from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Welcome into the Ultimate College Football Playoff Preview, presented by the Locked On Podcast Network and Odyssey. We will be highlighting the best time of the year, the bowl season, by taking the most detailed look you could find anywhere. I'm Zach Blackerbean with the Locked On Podcast Network, and I will guide you through hearing detailed analysis from experts with our friends at BetQL and Odyssey, as well as local hosts that cover these teams every single day. We've already taken you through detailed looks at the Sugar Bowl, as well as the Rose and Fiesta Bowls, and we will also take you through those semifinal games later this week. But today we are zooming in on the Peach Bowl, a battle between the Michigan State Spartans and the Pitt Panthers. For our first look at this game, let's go to Chelsea Messenger and Michael Jenkins of Odyssey's The Daily Tip Podcast.
Zach, thanks very much. Let's talk about the Peach Bowl. It is number 10 Michigan State versus number 12 Pitt. You've got Michigan State at minus 135 on the money line, Pitt at plus 115, and the Spartans laying 2.5 points with the total set at 56. And Chelsea, when you think about this game, the big factors are the guys who will not play. You've got no Kenny Pickett for Pitt and no Kenneth Walker III for Michigan State. Does that influence your bet? I would think that it has to.
Right, because now I don't know which side to pick, because originally I thought, oh, Kenny Pickett is opting out for Pitt and nobody has been really a bigger part of their offense than Kenny Pickett. But oh, by the way, Kenneth Walker III has also been extremely good in the running back position for Michigan State and a big part of their offense. And we've seen this line swing. It went from Pitt favored by 4 to Michigan State, now 2.5 point favorite. So maybe you follow the line movement there. And this one's difficult because usually you just say, which team is more motivated? And when a team's starting quarterback opts out, you would think that that team's not going to be very motivated. So it's going to be Nick Patty for Pitt Panthers. He has been a longtime backup to Kenny Pickett. Over his career, he has 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. So not a whole lot to draw from, but he does have some experience.
Yeah, that does help somewhat. I will say both of these teams are great against the number. Pitt is 10-3 against the spread this year. That is the second best in college football, only behind Michigan. Then you've got Michigan State, which we know because we bet the Spartans a lot this season. They're 8-3-1 against the number. I'm not crazy about going with a backup quarterback. However, I will say as well, Michigan State's defense, their pass defense in particular, is the absolute worst in college football. So with the extra time to prepare, that should really help Pitt in this instance to go against a secondary that just hasn't gotten it done this season.
Right, but then you see the line movement, and this makes me nervous because In some of these bowl games that we've seen, some of these line movements has been have been extremely telling. We saw it in the Quick Lane Bowl, Nevada and Western Michigan. That line had a huge flip, and it ended up being the right play. So I'm very tempted just to follow the money here and look at Michigan State.
I think for me, I'm going to have a no play here. And as much as I love to bet on bowl games, whenever you take out two marquee players like this, and especially with the line movement, yeah, if you're going to bet a side, I guess Michigan State is that side based on following the money. But ultimately for me, this is a stay away. There's a lot of other bowl action that I'm more intrigued by than one where I just can't get a feel for it.
Yeah, and neither team clearly wants to be there 100%. So you're probably right.
Well, for more, subscribe and follow the Daily Tip wherever you get your podcasts, or you can listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 9 Eastern. It's all on BetQL, your home for wagertainment. Zach, we'll send it back to you.
Looking at this Peach Bowl matchup from an NFL draft perspective is a fun one. And Ryan Tracy, host of Locked On NFL Draft, talks about the two biggest prospects that are sitting this one out, as well as another key matchup to look at.
This Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl against what really ought to be a fanfare for Michigan State and Pittsburgh going against each other comes down to really just one matchup: the offensive explosiveness for one quarterback and one running back, the focuses of their offenses respectively. And that comes down to Kenneth Walker on the Michigan State side, an explosive, very powerful, and I think somewhat more elusive than he gets credit for running back that has the big break ability. He is currently number two on my draft rankings at his position, and is one that I think especially is able to exploit weaker fronts that I think will allow him to be right up there with his rival here in this game in Kenny Pickett, who right now is the number one quarterback on our consensus board over at Locked On NFL Draft. Pickett obviously has had a longer career, has made a name for himself, is right in the running to be QB1 in this draft class. Should he be? Is this draft class strong enough to really promote someone? This game might really make the determination about how well can he play, what can he project to at the next level. This is going to be the marquee matchup on either side. Now, in terms of actually playing against each other, the big one to watch is going to be wide receiver Jaden Reed going up against Damari Mathis, the corner. And when it comes down to this, it's leading receiver against leading cornerback, and it is the one thing X's and O's on the field that you're going to be able to take away from. It's going to be, I think, back and forth as this game goes on. I'll give a slight edge at the end of the day to number one for the Spartans. Give Reed, I think, what is going to be a good day out for him, and again, another chance to help make a mark for that offense. This is going to leave a lot to be seen. I'm looking forward to this. Well, it kind of gets the ball rolling on the bowl season. There are a lot of matchups more to come, but that's a quick look at the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl.
More of the Ultimate College Football Playoff Preview is next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Let's hear from some of our local experts, Matt Sheehan, the host of Locked On Spartans, and Nick Faribault, the host of Locked On Pitt.
Yes, of course, Kenneth Walker's out for Michigan State. Yes, of course, Kenny Pickett's out for Pitt. But you don't have the season that these two teams had without doing more than one thing well. So, yes, despite your Heisman finalist is not going to be playing in the Peach Bowl, what else does Pitt do well that should have us Michigan State fans losing sleep until December 30th?
Well, Kenny Pickett did it with a really good array of weapons, and I think that's the thing that should really scare Michigan State fans. Obviously, Jordan Addison needs no introduction. He's the Biletnikoff Award winner, so he's great, and it wasn't just Pickett. You know, he was wide open all the time. He was elite this year, but outside of him, people don't give enough love to the running backs. They have a real good trio of backs with Abanikanda, Hammond, and Davis. All three of them get different types of tread depending on who's the hot hand, and it's been the hot. They have been the hot hand in different points of the year. Recently, that's been Davis more so than Abanikanda came on against Wake late, and Hammond's been it before. And they're a really good trio backs. They also have a few other receivers. Jared Wayne is coming on. I think they might get Taysier Mack back for this game, which would be huge. He hasn't played since October, so if he comes back, they'll have their deep threat back. So that'll be big for Pitt if they can get him back. They also have a duo of tight ends in Lucas Kroll and Gavin Bartholomew. Plus, Their offensive line is really good. So the offense is just missing Pickett, which is obviously huge, but it's still a good offense. And then you look at the defense. The defense recently, they stopped the run very well. Obviously, that's kind of in their calling card. But also recently, they forced a ton of turnovers. They put Sam Hartman in an absolute nightmare scenario for him. So Pitt's defense, it's prone to big plays. It's prone to giving up big plays, but they're also very opportunistic, and they can do the same thing back to you. So it depends. They're very streaky. So when they're on, they're on. When they're off, boy, they are Swiss cheese.
So even without Kenny Pickett, even without your offensive coordinator, and I apologize, I'm blanking on Mark Whipple, I believe. I can hear some confidence in your voice. So, like, just how are you feeling? How are Pitt fans as a whole feeling for this game? Pretty confident?
Well, I think it's a little, you know, everyone wanted to see Pickett back for one more game. But I think people understand, like, okay, it makes sense. He's going to be a first-round draft pick, like, whatever. It's okay. But I think there's some excitement because people know Pitt has a good team outside of Kenny Pickett. Like, without Kenny Pickett, they wouldn't have been where they are. But this is still a really solid team, like, overall. Mm-hmm. They built a deep team. They built a team that's improved over the year on both sides of the ball outside of just Pickett. Because early on in the year, it was really just Kenny Pickett kind of dragging him through the water, essentially, until the whole team started to hit their stride. And then the defense has started to hit their stride a little bit lately, too. And Pitt's become a bit of a better, well-rounded team. So there's that reason why I think everyone's excited. But also, I think everyone's excited to see Nick Patty, who's the backup quarterback. He's showcased some real good flashes over these few games, you know, especially in the spring game last year when he came out. He was phenomenal in that game. And there's a lot of talent there with Nick Patty. He's got a real good arm. He's mobile. So he's a guy that you look at and you're like, he's intriguing. And especially against Michigan State's pass defense, I think it's very interesting to see how he can do with these assortment of weapons, because again, Pitt's going to need a new quarterback next year. So you also get a little bit of preview for 2022. So it's exciting, honestly, to see that, but it's also Pitt's a well-rounded team, and Michigan State, while they're good, they don't appear to be over, you know, compensating in every area that Pitt can't overcome that.
And I'm going to put you on the spot here, because this is going to be a tough question to answer, as Pitt has a great offense. They've scored about 900 points per game. And, you know, obviously outside of the backup quarterback, are there any holes in the offense that you're even a little concerned about? Or is it just a well-running machine completely on offense? Like, what can Michigan State fans have some hope with when the Spartans are on defense?
Well, outside of the obvious, as you said, it's the quarterback. If the quarterback just completely flukes the whole thing, that's obviously the one. But also, Pitt is missing their starting right guard, and they will be. Jake Cradle, who was probably their best lineman, broke his leg, unfortunately, against North Carolina. He will not return for this game, so he will be out for the year. Teams have been able to sometimes overload that right side, get a little bit of pressure off that right side, and get Pickett in his field a little bit, like seeing ghosts at times. And when Pickett has had his down stretches, that's when that's what's happened. The right side has had a little bit of trouble. But Pitt has experimented recently with some of their kind of different linemen abilities. Also, I will say this, the center position's a question mark. Owen Drexel, the starting center, has had snapping issues all year where he's just killed drives by over snapping Pickett. We don't know if he's going to start. It could be Blake Zubovich, and that's actually what happened. Drexel got pulled in the middle of the Wake Forest game. Zubovich came in, and Pitt's offense all of a sudden, once Drexel went out, hit like that, and it was simple. So we'll see. The offensive line and kind of the moving pieces, I guess, will be the one thing. But so far, no team has been able to exploit that to a degree that has made Pitt completely fall apart. And even when Pickett feels off, the running game has been able to pick him up enough to where Pitt can get a first down or two, and then Pickett can get going. We'll see if that's the same thing with Patty, if he can get going. But Patty has been under pressure a few times this year when he's been in there, and he's made a few very smart, heady plays. So he doesn't seem like a guy that cracks under pressure just right when it's in his face. So I think that's a really positive sign for Pitt.
Gotcha. Before we flip the tables here and you ask me about Michigan State, of course, got to ask about one of the main storylines here. I don't know if you've heard it 687 times like we have over here, but hey, your head coach, Pat Narduzzi, used to be a defensive coordinator at Michigan State. Oh, my, how fun's that? I'm already sick of the storyline. Pat's a great guy. Love him as a coach here. But how do you like him as a coach? Obviously, it might be a little hard to say anything bad about him after New Year's Six bowl bid. But as a whole, how do you like his tenure so far?
You know, it's been a tenure that's been marred by mediocrity at first. Because, listen, coming into the year, people were talking about this guy maybe having – this was his, like, last audition. Like, he could have been fired. And obviously, he rose to the occasion this year in pretty much every respect of the word. But Narduzzi is a guy that has brought stability to the program. He has a defense that, while the you Michigan State fans know this, how annoying it can be when you go up against a really good quarterback in the Pat Narduzzi defense. Sometimes you get absolutely shredded against them.
Sure.
But it's also – he's also brought a fabric of stability that has given Pitt bumps in recruiting classes. Pitt has way more talent than they've had in Lord knows how long. He's a great developer of talent. His entire staff has developed NFL players like it's nothing. They just pop them out of the factory. For a school like Pitt that has not been, you know, to an ACC championship in New Year's Six Bowl, they have an absurd amount of NFL players, and that's mostly credit to Narduzzi. And so I like what Pat Narduzzi's done. I think he's a good coach. He has his faults. He's a terrible in-game manager, but it is what it is. You know, he has his faults, certainly. He's not perfect, but I think when you look at the kind of the culture he's built and everything that happens here at Pitt, I think he's done more than a satisfactory job. And I like him as our coach. I do. And he deserves an extension. He'll get it.
Yeah, we'll take that. All right, sweet. Bill, do you want to know about Michigan State at all? Or
yeah, thoughts? I do.
Okay, I guess. All right, fine.
I guess we'll talk about Michigan State a little bit. But I know Pitt fans, the biggest thing coming to the game was, look at our rush defense. We could stop Kenneth Walker. Okay, Kenneth Walker's not there anymore.
Yeah.
Peyton Thorne is obviously going to be the highlight of this game now on Michigan State offense. How much do you think you know the Narduzzi defense? How much do you think Peyton Thorne and his assortment of weapons can attack that Narduzzi defense? And do you think it's possible that they can gun enough to where maybe Thorne in recent weeks has kind of been prone to picks and some turnovers? So is it possible that they can outgun Pitt, even if they don't get Naylor back?
That's the thing. It's like, on one hand, sure, on the surface, yes. Like, Peyton Thorne, I think he's a fine quarterback. I think he does a solid job. And you'll learn this roughly 17 times during the game, but him and his top target, Jaden Reed, they're old high school teammates. So not only do they have just good talent in Jaden Reed and Peyton Thorne, but also great chemistry. I've seen the memes. It depends on what NFL or college team you root for, but it's like the, screw it, blank is open down there somewhere, and they just huck the ball. That's been Peyton Thorne and Jaden Reed all season. Like, whenever in doubt, just throw it anywhere within the vicinity of Jaden Reed. And, okay, hey, that actually worked out. So if you can tie Jalen Naylor in with him, which it's on the fence if he'll play or not, but if he can, obviously awesome. That's great. They don't call him Speedy Naylor for nothing. He's a fast kid. Like, that's all great on the surface, but there's the other hand. It's, yeah, Kenneth Walker missing the game. That hurts because there is a steep drop-off behind Kenneth Walker. And that's not to say, like, our running backs are terrible. I just think Kenneth Walker was that elite. Like, our offensive line, they're fine. They're okay. But there were times this season where there was no hole to be seen, and Kenneth Walker, oh, there he goes for 15 yards, or, oh, yep, another 18-yard gain. Like, none of the other running backs have that ability to just create their own holes or juke within their jukes to get off a big run. So taking away that run game, especially, like you said, against Pitt's top running defense, yeah, that's going to be tough. That's going to be a tough thing to wrap my head around. But, yeah, that's just a long way of saying that, yeah, hey, we got talent in wide receiver, and our quarterback's fine, but, ugh, running game, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, I think that's kind of Pitt's reaction, too. You got talent, but the quarterback, right? It's like,
yeah, that's a lot of pressure put on him. Yeah.
It's like everything could just fall apart. And so I don't know. I'm very intrigued about this matchup, at least. Kenneth Walker-less Michigan State and Kenny Pickett-less Pitt is a very interesting matchup. But also the defense of Michigan State. I've talked about it a ton. The passing defense just is flat out awful. I mean,
horrible.
First of all, what's gone into that? Is it injuries? Is it just downright no talent? Is it downright coaching? Has this been such a disaster that it seems like anyone and everyone that comes into East Lansing when they go on the road can just dice it up with – it doesn't matter how good they are. It's just – it always is a problem.
Yeah, no, it's bang up right there. And when it gets that bad, and we're talking like ranked dead last in the nation amongst some passing statistics – like, it's never just one thing, right? It's never just injuries. It's never just talent. It's never just coaching. Like, all of that has a slice of the pie here in the blame pie. Like, yes, Michigan State has dealt with injury issues. Okay, it still was kind of shaky before those injury issues even shook out, though. Yes, we've gotten some transfers in the portal that we thought were going to do a little better. Oh, my goodness gracious. Has not gone that way. And then coaching, it's like, not a lot of adjustments have been being made here. And it's like, well, good coaching should at least be able to do perhaps something to not have you ranked dead last in a lot of categories here. So I'm sorry. Once again, it's just a long way of saying that it's all jacked up, man. None of it is good. So yeah, of course, you know, we're sitting around after the conference championships to see where these guys are going to be playing. It's like, I don't want to see Pitt. I don't want to see Kenny Pickett. I don't want to see a guy throw for 1,000 yards in a single game against Michigan State. Please just give us Notre Dame or Oklahoma State. And now here come the Pitt Panthers. So, but hey, just like you said, you don't have to be a great team to carve up Michigan State. So it doesn't matter in the end anyway. Probably not. But I will say our running defense is pretty solid, though. I do feel pretty solid when the ball's handed off. I almost feel like thanking the other team, like, thank you for wasting your time. You could have gotten 18 yards here on a curl route. No questions asked. But instead, you decided to hand it off for a gain of 2. So I'm fine with the run defense. It's just whatever quarterback drops back to pass. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Yeah, I'm certain Pitt's going to try and run the ball a little bit, at least. I mean, they need to take some pressure off Patty. So, could work out well, or Pitt's offensive line could immediately dominate up front, and then it could even go from bad to worse. So, who knows? Yeah. But I guess if there's one thing Michigan State fans look at Pitt and say, this is our thing we can have against them, even without Kenneth Walker. This is what we have against Pitt. This is what can give Pitt trouble, and this is why we can win this game. What would that be? Because looking on the surface, I mean, just looking at the surface stats, everything seems to be like Pitt. Like, okay, Pitt has the passing game. Pitt has the weapon still. They have a real good run defense. It's really just Michigan State's passing offense. But what's that thing that you're going to lean on as a Michigan State fan to say, this is what we can do to Pitt, and this is what we can beat them with?
Kenny Pickett's announcement helps, doesn't it? I mean, that's pretty nice. But even like it's not even like within the game itself or position group versus position group, for me at least. I mean, I don't want to speak for every Michigan State fan, but any confidence that comes from me is the fact that, well, playing in the Big Ten East gets you pretty iron forged for maybe a non-conference matchup, right? Like playing against Penn State, beating Michigan, beating Miami when they still had Derek King. That I'm still going to push that agenda that Miami was still a decent team when Michigan State played them. I don't care if that's true or not. I just keep telling myself that, though. But Michigan State has had some tough games this year, right? And they've also been overachieving the entire season. They went into the year with an over-under total of 4.5 wins. Here we are, 10-2. So, like, can you keep on climbing up this ladder, keep on overachieving, keep on getting these surprise wins that Vegas doesn't even think you'll win? Who's to say they can't do it again? So, yeah, I think it's just being iron-forged. the last few months of the season is kind of where confidence comes from my end. I mean, I know it's not analytical or anything. It's kind of intangible, but it's kind of where I sit on this.
Yeah, I feel that. And I feel like Pitt fans are kind of the same way, where Pitt has not pitted anything, aside from Western Michigan.
Sure,
but,
yeah.
But, you know, Pitt lost to Miami. And people, I know a lot of Michigan State fans bring that up, but, I mean, Pitt saw a very different Miami team than the one Michigan State saw. They saw Tyler Van Dyke and Jalen Knighton and Charleston Rambo, and they did not. And certainly that's not the team Michigan State played at all. And so
it's
a very different team. So I don't know. We'll see what that's all about. But I do want to kind of – I do want to put you on the spot a little bit here. You talked about Pat Narduzzi and his return. What does it kind of mean for Michigan State fans to see him, you know, in another uniform coming back? And the fact that you have such familiarity with his defense, does that give you confidence, or does that actually make you a little bit more scared because you're like, oh, my goodness, his defense is the exact type of defense we did not want to see?
That's a fascinating question. I hadn't really thought about that, but ever since he has left, pretty much the whole coaching staff has kind of changed, right? Like Mark D'Antonio's out the door. Now it's the Mel Tucker era, of course. So I think that gives a different feel. If it was 3 years ago and, you know, Mark D'Antonio was going up against Pat Narduzzi, you know, like any other mentor versus student game, like I think that'd be a lot more fascinating. But I haven't really thought about that. So I guess the answer is not. I haven't been losing much sleep on that. Other than the fact that, like, yeah, of course, we do think about the old good old days when he was at Michigan State and how mean and nasty those defenses were. So I'd be lying if I said that when I actually do think about it for more than 5 seconds. Like, uh-oh, I could be a mean defense coming our way, and he always has the defense playing up and mean and ready to be physical. So, yeah, I think it'll be a good game. Now, will people watch with Pickett and Walker out? Outside of the Pitt and MSU fan bases, there might be 27 people total watching this game, right? But, hey, they will be treated to a very competitive game, I think. So I think it'll be a fun evening, December 30th.
Yeah, I agree with that. And before I show you the curtain call, I'll ask you one more question.
Sure.
So overall, you don't have Kenneth Walker. You might not have Jalen Naylor. If you don't have those two guys, without Kenneth Walker, and we talked about this a little bit, but without Kenneth Walker, what's the confidence level in terms of MSU being able to put up enough points to match Pitt? Because I think even without Pickett, Pitt's going to put up some points. And I've seen enough of Nick Patty to where I can say he'll at least be decent. He'll give you a floor. Pitt's probably going to score, I would assume, more than 21 points. Like, that's the floor I'll give them. So when Peyton Thorne's asked, man, it's on your arm. We don't have this running back you can lean on anymore. It's on your arm. Can he do it?
My confidence lies at on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm at a smooth 4.89 right now. I'm a tick under 5 because, they do have the weapons. They do have Reed. They most likely maybe have, who's to say, Naylor, but Trey Mosley's fine. Malik Carr, that's a tight end. They've been working into the mix here late in the season. They're fine, but man, it's just the run game and the drop-off behind Kenneth Walker, because the backup running backs, I don't know how much they could do against Pitt's running defense, of course. And I think that this is also a race to 30 points this game. I think it'll be harder for Michigan State to get to 30 points than it will for Pitt to get to 30 points with Michigan State's pass defense. So, I'm not writing this game off by any means. I still think Michigan State, of course, has a fighting chance. And quite frankly, like, I don't have a prediction yet, just because, like, that's how close I think the game's going to be. But yeah, I think it's going to be just a tick under that, just because, well, it goes without saying, Kenneth Walker, the best running back in the nation, in my opinion, not being there, it's going to have a significant impact on Michigan State. So I know it's not a hot take, but yeah, that's kind of where I sit on it.
Hey, I agree here. Again, I think Pitt's going to be able to score. It's going to be all about, for me, Pitt's defense and how well they show up. So
that's the name of the game.
That's been the story of the season for Pitt. Can their defense show up? And when they have shown up, Pitt has looked like a really good team. When they have not... Now, Pitt loses games when they don't. So it is what it is. But Nick Faribault, Locked On Pitt, Matt Sheehan, Locked On Spartans. Peace, Bowl preview.
Coming up, our national experts at BetQLU take over the conversation. Now for a national approach to the Peach Bowl. National experts at BetQL, RJ Choppy and Jeffrey Wright of BetQLU, break down the game from a national perspective.
All right, RJ, we are back with more bowl previews. We continue our previewing of the New Year's Six. It's time this time to get into the Peach Bowl. This feels like the biggest of the opt-outs of the New Year's Six, just because solely the two guys that I would say are synonymous with each team's team, both Kenny Pickett and Kenneth Walker, they will not be playing. But this is one of those situations, RJ. Weirdly, I've started to trust Narduzzi a little too much, and that might be one of those situations where you're just playing with fire the entire time. But this feels like a situation where everyone just assumes, oh, take Michigan State. And yet I am like, maybe Pitt might be the right play.
Yeah, you know, maybe they might be. You know, I don't know what to really make of, you know, obviously when you look at a team and they don't have their quarterback, what do you make of that team? You know, I don't really have any idea what Pitt is like without Kenny Pickett. I don't know what Michigan State's like without Kenneth Walker either, but I do know that, you know, obviously the quarterback is by far the more important position. Pitt seems like the play. Is trusting Pat Narduzzi a great idea? Like, it doesn't seem like he seems like.
Normally you would be correct. Here's the situation though. Short favorite or short underdog. When the spread is within 7 points, Narduzzi 19-7-2 against the spread. Ooh, so like nice. When it's, you know, like when it's clearly a lower scoring game that he can kind of navigate his way through, that seems to be, or a closer scoring game, that seems to be where he's at his best. You never want to bet on him as a big favorite though. That's where you're in your zone.
No, you don't. But I guess the question is, you know, Pat Narduzzi just like he seems like the guy that Boston College would fail when they hire.
Oh, yeah.
Like that just seems like the guy that they would hire and it would miserably fail when they hire him. I struggle betting on a game personally when one team's missing their quarterback.
Yeah.
I just struggle doing it. It's like, man, like this could be Michigan State in an absolute walk. But then again, you know, they fall into the same trap that a lot of these teams fall into, where they were a team that was in the college football playoff and then got blown out. Yeah, remember they were in that first one or the second one. And then
I think it's the second one. You're right. It was the second one. It was the one in, ironically, it was in or in Arlington, whatever, at Jerry's World. Yeah. And that was kind of, I think that's kind of though, that's my whole deal with Michigan State. I don't think they're this bad football team, but I do think they were a football team that literally maximized whatever they had. Like what they had as a roster. Like we're talking about Kenny Pickett being out. The bigger problem for me is Peyton Thorne's still in for Michigan State. Like, he's not good at football.
No, he's not. Now, but again, Michigan State got to that point by beating basically because of one game. They beat Michigan.
Yeah.
Other than that, you know, they beat Indiana on the road by 5. That's not great. They beat Rutgers. They beat Western Kentucky. They beat Nebraska by 3. Miami's nothing to write home about. And then they played Youngstown State and Northwestern. Like, that's how they got to that record, to that undefeated mark where they were in the college football playoff. And then they gave up 40 to Purdue and 56 to Ohio State. Like, they're not a great team. Then neither is Pitt. You know, Pitt's not a great team either. But, you know, one team still has a guy who took, you know, 1,000 snaps at quarterback or however many. And the other team doesn't this year, in this game, I should say. And that, to me, is a big problem. That's a big problem to have.
Do we put any stock into the fact that Mel Tucker got his extension early? You know what I mean?
Mm.
Now he's fat cat scenario, you know? Got that extension, like, okay, all right, let's guys, we're here where we want. Also, this is a tough spot for me, because typically in these types of bowl games, instinct is fade the Big Ten and fade the ACC.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is here, I have to pick.
Got to pick one. I'll tell you this. If you told me that Keaton Slovis is going to quarterback for Pitt this week.
All of a sudden, we're starting to look a little better.
Yep. There you go. Now you got something there. But
but this could also be your point. The fact that Keaton Slovis is going to Pitt might tell you the backup.
Not very good.
But I always throw this out there. Peyton Thorne was so bad, he could not play at Indiana. Never forget that.
It's true. That's true. That's true. You can't argue that one. You can't argue that one. But and that's not a very good team. Like still to this day. No, not a very good team at all. I get it. I struggle with this one. This is the one that I struggle with the most, because when you lose a quarterback, it is, especially a guy like him, right? I mean, we are going to find out just how good this dude is. And, you know, it's between him and who Corral is probably the best prospects coming out this year. Maybe Malik Willis.
People will tell you Malik Willis. I remember what I told you from day one. That guy's nothing but hype. It's the same thing with Hal. I think Hal, although it seems like Hal's coming back, those are the only two. I think someone's probably going to take Willis just because everyone takes a quarterback at some point way too high. But the two guys that are going to separate themselves, I think, are those two.
Yeah, I think you're right. And, you know, like you said, Hal might. Is Hartman coming out or is he staying another year?
He still has the ability to stay for like his 10th year. Yeah. I just don't think he has enough arm.
Now for a national approach to the Peach Bowl, national experts at BetQL, RJ Choppy and Jeffrey Wright of BetQLU break down the game from a national perspective.
All right, RJ, we are back with more bowl previews. We continue our previewing of the New Year's Six. It's time this time to get into the Peach Bowl. This feels like the biggest of the opt-outs of the New Year's Six, just because solely the two guys that I would say are synonymous with each team's team, both Kenny Pickett and Kenneth Walker, they will not be playing. But this is one of those situations, RJ. Weirdly, I've started to trust Narduzzi a little too much, and that might be one of those situations where you're just playing with fire the entire time. But this feels like a situation where everyone just assumes, oh, take Michigan State. And yet here I am like, maybe Pitt might be the right play.
Yeah, you know, maybe they might be. I don't know what to really make of, you know, obviously when you look at a team and they don't have their quarterback, what do you make of that team? I don't really have any idea what Pitt is like without Kenny Pickett. I don't know what Michigan State's like without Kenneth Walker either, but I do know that, you know, obviously the quarterback is by far the more important position. Pitt seems at the play. Is trusting Pat Narduzzi a great idea? Like, it doesn't seem like he seems like.
Normally, you would be correct. Here's the situation, though. Short favorite or short underdog. When the spread is within 7 points, Narduzzi, 19-7-2 against the spread. Ooh, so, like, nice. When it's, you know, like when it's clearly a lower scoring game that he can kind of navigate his way through. That seems to be, or a closer scoring game. That seems to be where he's at his best. You never want to bet on him as a big favorite, though. That's where you're in your zone.
No, you don't. But I guess the question is, you know, Pat Narduzzi just like, he seems like the guy that Boston College would fail when they hire.
Oh, yeah.
Like that just seems like the guy that they would hire and it would miserably fail when they hire him. I struggle betting on a game personally when one team is missing their quarterback.
Yeah,
I just struggle doing it. It's like, man, like this could be Michigan State in an absolute walk. But then again, you know, they fall into the same trap that a lot of these teams fall into, where they were a team that was in the college football playoff and then got blown out. Yeah, remember they were in that first one or the second one. And then
Yeah, I think it's the second one. You're right. It's the second one. It was the one in, ironically, it was in, or in Arlington, whatever, at Jerry's World. And that was kind of, I think that's kind of, though, that's my whole deal with Michigan State. I don't think they're this bad football team, but I do think they were a football team that literally maximized whatever they actually had. Like, what they had as a roster, like we're talking about Kenny Pickett being out. The bigger problem for me is Peyton Thorne's still in for Michigan State. Like, he's not good at football.
No, he's not. Now, but again, Michigan State got to that point by beating basically because of one game. They beat Michigan.
Yeah.
Other than that, you know, they beat Indiana on the road by 5. That's not great. They beat Rutgers. They beat Western Kentucky. They beat Nebraska by 3. Miami's nothing to write home about. And then they played Youngstown State and Northwestern. Like, that's how they got to that record. To that undefeated mark where they were in the college football playoff. And then they gave up 40 to Purdue and 56 to Ohio State. Like, they're not a great team. Then neither is Pitt. You know, Pitt's not a great team either. But, you know, one team still has a guy who took, you know, 1,000 snaps at quarterback or however many. And the other team doesn't this year, in this game, I should say. And that, to me, is a big problem. That's a big problem to have.
Do we put any stock into the fact that Mel Tucker got his extension early? You know what I mean? Now he's fat. Are we fat cat scenario? You know, got that extension. Like, okay, all right. Let's guys, we're here where we want. Also, this is a tough spot for me because typically in these types of bowl games, instinct is fade the Big Ten and fade the ACC.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is here, I have to pick.
Got to pick one. I'll tell you this: if you told me that Keaton Slovis is going to quarterback for Pitt this week.
All of a sudden, we're starting to look a little better.
Yep, there you go. Now you got something there. But
this could also be your point. The fact that Keaton Slovis is going to Pitt might tell you the backup.
Not very good.
But I always throw this out there. Peyton Thorne was so bad, he could not play to Indiana. Never forget that.
It's true. That's true. That's true. And that is, you can't argue that one. You can't argue that one. But. And that's not a very good team. Like, still to this day, no, not a very good team at all. I get it. I struggle with this one. This is the one that I struggle with the most because when you lose a quarterback, it is especially a guy like him, right? I mean, we are going to find out just how good this dude is, and you know, it's between him and who Corral is probably the best prospects coming out this year. Maybe Malik Willis.
People will tell you Malik Willis. I remember what I told you from day one. That guy's nothing but hype. It's the same thing with Hal. I think Hal, although it seems like Hal's coming back, those are the only two. I think someone's probably going to take Willis just because everyone takes a quarterback at some point way too high. But the two guys that are going to separate themselves, I think, are those two.
Yeah, I think you're right. And, you know, like you said, Hal might. Is Hartman coming out or is he staying another year?
He still has the ability to stay for like his 10th year. Yeah. I just don't think he has enough arm.
Look, he's got the look. I have a good looking quarterback theory, and he's got the looks, man. Like that
Don't get me wrong. I'm all in on the theory because I would also like to add a footnote to the theory. The one difference, I always believe you want your quarterback to be good looking because there's no question. You want it to be a confidence. Like it is a insane confidence position. I also will accept guys like Aaron Rodgers that aren't amazingly good looking, but Aaron Rodgers believes he's good looking. Like he's the guy that punted Olivia Munn thinking like I deserve better. Like all I care about, it's not necessarily whether or not you're good looking. It's if you believe that you are good looking.
Yeah. I think there's two. The Manning boys know they're not, and they don't care. They just don't care.
Yeah.
Like that they're the exceptions to the rule. But the rest of them, I mean, you've got to be an amazingly good looking dude. And Sam Heartthrob, as I call him, he absolutely is. But no, look, Pickett is he and Corral. I mean, those are the two guys. Those are the two guys coming out. And I think we're going to find out a lot about how good or how bad this Pitt roster is based on how they play in this game without him.
Yeah, I think the other flip side of it is for me, it's like if Pitt can generate enough of a passing game. We've seen that Michigan State defense and that secondary. Like, they're pretty good against the run, but if you can get anybody marginally open, they can't tackle in the secondary. They don't cover very well. Like, there is the opportunity. This does scream of a bowl game that unless you have to bet this, don't bet it.
No, Michigan State allowed the most passing yards in FBS this year.
Yeah.
They allowed over 4,000. That's not good. They got destroyed, and I mean destroyed, by Ohio State. That wasn't even a contest. Now, granted, that was against a Heisman candidate in C.J. Stroud, and they're not going to be facing that against Pitt this week without Pickett. But, you know, when they face it, if you could get somebody who could throw, a competent thrower, you can pick them apart because they just don't have the horses back there.
No, they do not. If you're curious in terms of money percentage, right now, 82% of the money is on the over. The total sitting at 56. Right now, the spread at 2.5 in favor of Sparty. This is the one thing that scares me. This is kind of why I'm really looking at Pitt in this. Even though there's a pro advantage, 75% of the tickets and 92% of the money, that's an awful lot of money on Michigan State. And right now, and it's still early, Vegas hasn't blinked. Like, this number has been 2.5, I feel like, for a week and a half.
Yeah. Oh, it hasn't moved. Has not moved. Vegas thinks they're on the right number. For them to have that much pro money on one side and not to move the line, it tells you that they know either something that the rest of us don't know, or they firmly believe that they are on the right number. And I'm just going to look like when the last time this thing moved. I mean, this line really hasn't moved it's been more than a week. It really has. If you go to just the FanDuel line movement, I mean, it hasn't moved in a week and a half there. At Mirage MGM, it hasn't moved since, well before Christmas.
Yeah, they're showing right now on BetQL, they're showing the last time it really moved was December the 8th.
Yeah. I mean, it's fluctuated a little bit since then, but that's about it. It moved up, down, but it all settled right back down to the same spot that it was at. It's barely moving at all. This line's not moving, so I think Vegas thinks they've got it in a good spot.
Yeah, it hasn't, like, while it's fluctuated a little, it still has never gone above a field goal. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they seem to be like, three is, maybe there are some threes out there, but they're clearly not wanting to go over 3.5. And to me, that very much explains the fact that, like you said, sometimes they get it wrong. Like last night, I think Vegas thought, for us, the Cowboys-Redskins game or Washington football team game, they thought they had the right number at 10.
Yeah, they did. They thought they had the right number. But yeah, you're right. I mean, like Pickett said he was going to be out on what, the 16th?
He was pretty early in the process.
Yeah, and it really hasn't fluctuated at all since that time. They've got the right number. They think they do.
So if you are curious, yet again, that for us at 2.5, you're looking at 92% of the money, according to BetQL, and 75% of the tickets. That will do it for the Peach Bowl at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. You're listening to the Locked On Podcast Network.
Well, that's everything you need to know about the Peach Bowl. Thank you for tuning in to the Ultimate College Football Playoff Preview. Tomorrow, we are previewing the Cotton Bowl, the playoff matchup between Alabama and Cincinnati, right here on the Ultimate College Football Playoff Preview.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.